Well, Merry Christmas. Oh, you know, for the secular world, I guess Black Friday is the beginning of Christmas season. How dark and dreary is that? You know, for me, and I think for you, for us as Southern Baptists, the week of prayer for international missions and Lottie Moon Christmas offering emphasis is the beginning of the Christmas season. Amen? Emmanuel, is that not a lot to celebrate today? Meaning what? God is with us. God is with us. What a great promise the Lord said. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you through all things, in all things, forever. What a great promise we've given. Well, you know, today does mark the beginning of our week of prayer for international missions, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering emphasis. And you know, it's one of the highlights of the year for me as your associate pastor, given the privilege, thank you, Phil, to lead our church and our global mission outreach. Now, some of you think I just misspoke. I said global. Global is a combination of the word local and global. And that's what we as Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, that has been our vision and our purpose and mission since I've had the privilege to lead it here. And it's based on Acts 1:8. Many of you know that verse. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In the years that I've had the blessing of leading us here, we've sought to remain committed to that biblical directive, beginning here in Silver Creek, which is our Jerusalem, and taking the gospel to the far reaches of the earth. God has given us many opportunities. You know, through the years, we've built handicap ramps and repaired homes and assisted with storm damage here in Silver Creek and Rome, Floyd County, which is our Jerusalem. Our purpose in that and what we've always desired to keep before us is that through that, we reflect the light of Christ as we serve other people. And the Lord has given us many opportunities to share the gospel through those opportunities. You know, in the state of Georgia and several other states in the Southeast and even some out in the Midwest, we've had the opportunities to share the good news as we've gone to help rebuild after the storms. This is our Judea and our Samaria, and God's given us many opportunities. And again, as we go and serve like Christ would serve, it opens up opportunities to share the gospel, and that's what it's all about. And then, of course, internationally, the Lord has blessed us with a ministry in Ukraine since 2006. We partner there with two indigenous churches in Kharkiv, Ukraine, and Krasnograd, Ukraine, and it's produced through the years hundreds of new believers. Now, a lot of preachers and mission pastors like to keep up with those numbers. I leave that to the Ukrainians because the pastors are good at that. And you can ask Vitaly today, how many people have come to know Christ since we began our ministry there? And he can give you a number that's pretty close. I just praise God for every one of them because I know that God sent us there for that very purpose. And we've seen so many people come and know Christ. We've been a part of two new church starts there. There are numerous ongoing Bible studies. You know, the moment we leave Ukraine after doing the vision clinics and the medical clinics, the Ukrainian pastors led by Pastor Vitaly from Kharkiv and Pastor Vladimir from Krasnograd, they are immediately on those prospects. And they are meeting with them, and they're organizing them into Bible studies and eventually, hopefully, seeing new churches form. So God has given us a great opportunity there. In Peru, we've boldly taken the gospel to a cluster of Andean mountain villages, with Lawetambo being our primary village, and then having the opportunity to minister there since 2011. It's resulted in seven new Christians and hundreds of seeds planted. And we're trusting God daily as I pray for those folks and all those that we've had the opportunity to share with, that God will bring growth, that those seeds will sprout, and we'll see many believers come to know Christ as a result. You know, as many opportunities, though, that the Lord has given us, to participate in his worldwide mission. Our efforts alone seem so inadequate when we realize that today, listen to this, 4.5 billion people have never heard the gospel. 4.5 billion. Did you know that every day an estimated 155,000 people die without Christ in this world? Let that sink in just a minute. So yes, we're thankful for the opportunity, but apart from our partnership with the International Mission Board and the work that they do, we would be just a little tiny drop in the bucket. But thankfully, through their efforts, you know, today in 2019, our 3,585 IMB missionaries shared the gospel with 535,325 people, resulting in 89,325 new believers, 47,929 baptisms, 12,368 new churches planted, and 18,598 pastors trained. Through the efforts of the International Mission Board, through our support as one of the many Southern Baptist churches that support the International Mission Board. It's such a blessing to have the opportunity to financially support such a well-coordinated and well-organized effort to fulfill Christ's great commission. I want you to know this morning that 1/2 of the International Mission Board's annual operating budget comes from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, what is taken in through all of the Southern Baptist churches. Realizing that it's entirely possible in a church our size, knowing that everyone wasn't raised Southern Baptist like me. Now, I've heard of Lottie Moon since I was a little bitty fella, and a lot of you have as well. But I realize that there's some members of our church that weren't raised in Southern Baptist churches and may not know who Lottie Moon is. So I want us to see a short video this morning. We've seen this in the past, but it's an excellent video that tells us a little bit about Lottie's life and about the missionaries, the modern missionaries, who have followed her lead in reaching out with the gospel throughout the world. Lottie Moon dedicated her life to serving the Lord, and she was responsible through the letters that she wrote back to the leadership of the Southern Baptists for many other missionaries. And most Christians in China today, their salvation can be traced back to Lottie Moon and her commitment to sharing the gospel there. Served 40 years. Lottie died on her way back to the United States after becoming very sick and ill and weak in China. And died on Christmas Eve in 1912. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering was named in her honor in 1918. So every year since that, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering has been collected. Our goal this year for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $24,000. And you say, why are we asking for that much with all that's going on? Can I tell you that the work of the International Mission Board and our missionaries has not stopped? COVID has not stopped the gospel message being spread throughout the world. COVID has not stopped the vision of the Southern Baptist to put more missionaries on the field. If we're going to impact these billions that are lost and never heard the gospel, we've got to continue to send missionaries. So I just want to encourage you this year to give sacrificially. I know some of you, some have lost their jobs, and it's a difficult time. But I know that God will honor every cent that's given to support our missionaries throughout the world. Since 2006, you probably won't pat yourself on the back, but I want you to know that since 2007 that I've had the privilege to serve here, 2006, you have given $307,879 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Praise God. Thank you for your sacrificial giving. And I know your heart, and I know you're going to continue to give so that others may be able to go and to share. Well, our text this morning for this missions message is taken from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Revelation 7, beginning with verse 9. Once you've located that, I invite you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning. I'll be reading out of the New King James translation, maybe a little bit different from your translation. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Thank you. You may be seated. As background this morning, I want you to know that Revelation was written, of course, by the Apostle John under the Holy Spirit's inspiration after he had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his preaching of the gospel. It says, "For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, John was sent to the Isle of Patmos." Now, while there, John was commanded by the Lord to write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, these churches are now in what we know is modern-day Turkey. After seeing the vision of the Son of Man, John received again from the Lord the command to write the things you have seen, plus the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Well, upon John's completion of the letters to the seven churches, the end of chapter 3, in which the church is mentioned 18 times in those three chapters, the church is conspicuously absent after chapter 3. Now, but most Bible scholars will tell us that the reason the church is no longer mentioned is because it's been raptured. The rapture of the church has taken place, and we'll talk about that again a little more in a few moments. But the church has been taken out of the earth at this time, so there's no mention of it again in the scriptures. End time prophecies reveal that 7 years of tribulation will now be unleashed on the earth, ushered in by the rise of the Antichrist, who will deceive millions left behind. Well, this morning, using the 5W information gathering questions, I want us to unpack this passage, beginning with what things. In Revelation 7:9, which I just read, it says, "After these things." Okay, what things? Look back to verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." So verses 5 through 8 then reveal that 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes of Israel will be sealed by God, promising His protection while they accomplish His mission of evangelizing the world after the rapture of the church. After the church has been removed, these 144,000 Jewish evangelists are basically what they are, protected by God so that they may go out and proclaim the gospel. These are the evangelists who will go throughout the world preaching Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, that's Hebrew for Jesus the Messiah. If you say that today among Orthodox Jews, they will look at you sternly and meanly and sometimes call you down because they don't see Yeshua HaMashiach. They don't see Jesus as Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. But in this time, in the 7-year tribulation, these 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be proclaiming Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 9 continues, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." This leads to question number 2. Who are these? Who are these that comprise this great multitude? Turn back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6, 9, and we'll see a representative group of this multitude.
There we see, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So Revelation 7 verse 13 then gives us a more detailed description of the now complete multitude. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore or thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So let's pause here just a moment and see what has happened. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists have gone throughout the entire world and proclaimed Jesus as Messiah. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ, if you read through Revelation and through Ezekiel and Daniel, you will see that they will be martyred. They will die for their faith because the Antichrist is already set up where you have to have the mark of the beast in order to buy food or fuel to live. And those who refuse that and accept Jesus Christ will be martyred. So these are the ones who have died as martyrs, have died for their faith during the seven-year tribulation. You know, some people say, "Well, I don't believe people are going to be saved in the seven-year tribulation." They are. They are, and this is evidence of it. There will be many who will come to Christ. As a matter of fact, the prophets who talk about Israel coming to faith in Jesus Christ, this is the time they're talking about. When, as a nation, most of the Jews will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, accept him as the Messiah. So question number three, when will this occur? Revelation 4:1 says, after these things. In other words, after the church is removed from the earth, before the second coming of Christ, during that seven-year tribulation is when these things are going to take place. So this vast multitude that is seen here, these are those who have died for their faith during the 7 years tribulation period. So the question is, where is the church during this time? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. And there we read, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. First, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we're not going to go there, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, a more expansive description of the rapture and what takes place. We're told there, after the rapture, "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." All right, so think with me just a moment then. If these that we see who are robed in white, standing before the Son of God, worshiping, if they are there and they were saved during the tribulation period and the rapture took place before this time, then it stands to reason, because Jesus said, "And thus you shall always be with the Lord." Are we going to be there too? Absolutely. The reason we're not mentioned there is because the focus is on those who had died for their faith, those who were martyred. Now, there's a question today about whether those who heard the gospel before the rapture and then rejected the gospel, if they will have the opportunity to be saved. And you can ask different biblical scholars about this. Some say yes, some say no. I tend to lean on the side where no, they won't, because they've rejected Jesus. And what happens when the church is raptured is that the influence of the Holy Spirit has left the earth as well. So the chances are those who have rejected Jesus Christ, who've heard the gospel here, those that we share with, okay, those that we have gone out and told about Jesus, and they've made a conscious decision to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, after the rapture has occurred, they're left behind, and the Antichrist begins to influence people, they will be led astray by the Antichrist and will never have another opportunity. Does that not make our mission and our calling more urgent? If that's true, if that's the case, that they will never, most of them will never accept Christ, or maybe all of them that have rejected him here will never come to know Christ, and they will spend eternity separated from God in a burning hell. Should that not be enough incentive for us to not only give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, to go out into our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world and proclaim Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the only way. There's no other way to the Father. There's no plan B, folks. That's why it's so urgent. It's so urgent. I believe the rapture could happen today. There's no other passages, no other prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. It could take place before we leave here today. Wouldn't you like to be in church when the rapture takes place? I would. I'll tell you another place I'd like to be. I'd like to be standing in a cemetery. Because, you know, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. We would be eyewitnesses of those graves bursting open and all those people who have instantly been changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. They go before us and then immediately we're behind them. And we shall always be with the Lord. If that's true, well, first of all, if it's not true, Jesus is the biggest liar who ever walked the face of the earth. But if it is, and it is the only way. I love to watch our missionaries at work. I've had the privilege with missionaries in Ukraine and in Peru, throughout South America, to watch them as they have dedicated their lives to serving Christ. And the sacrifices they make on a daily basis so that the gospel may be proclaimed, but that God may use them there in that foreign country to lead others to Christ. It's a blessing to see the commitment that they have. But should their commitment be greater than ours? No. Their commitment to share Christ is different. They may be called to serve in another country, but God has called us here. If you never step foot out of the United States into another country on a mission trip, you still have your Jerusalem and your Judea and your Samaria. And we all have those, right? And God has called us to be witnesses. Folks, it's not a game. It's not an option that we have as believers. We see that as an option. Some people will say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, therefore I don't need to share. That's a lie right straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. We all have been called to share. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you, did he say, you might be my witnesses? No. He said, you shall be my witnesses. You know what the sad thing is? We're witnesses whether we open our mouth or not. Did you hear me? We're witnesses whether we speak a word, because people are watching us. Is old Billy really what he claims to be? Does he really believe that so much that his life reflects what he claims to believe? So we're all called to share. And you've heard me say this before. We all have our own circle of influence. I see Warren sitting here. And, you know, Warren worked at Pepperell Mill and had the opportunity to influence a lot of people there. Warren saw people and got to witness to people that I never even met. And the same thing is true for you. And then I have had opportunities where God has sent me to witness to folks that you will never meet, That's our circle of influence. And every one of us has that circle of influence. But the sad fact is, we're either a positive influence for Christ or we're a negative influence for Christ. Amen? Ooh, that was weak. Amen? We are. You can believe it or not. And a negative witness for Christ is worse than no witness at all. If you're going to live like the world and like the devil, don't claim to be a Christian, because you're hindering the cause of Christ. I'm hindering the cause of Christ. I had a good friend one time. He was telling me about when he first came to know Jesus. And he said, you know, I cursed a lot, you know, and I was just out in the world doing all these kind of things. But he said, you know, the Lord got a hold of me, and I know I was saved. But he said, I had such a filthy language that afterwards, every once in a while, one would slip. You know, he said, I'd throw out an expletive and not even realize it. And he said, I really got convicted about that. So the Lord led him to go on a retreat, a men's retreat. And they partnered up with another Christian. And so they just began to share about their lives and their struggles as a Christian, you know, and what they face on a daily basis. And this, my friend of mine, he said, I just wanted to be honest with this guy. And he said, I just told him, he said, you know, as hard as I try, I still let a cuss word slip every once in a while. And he said, I thought the guy would say, oh, you know, well, you're not perfect, you know, and everybody makes mistakes and yada, yada, yada. And he said, the guy looked at me, he said, do me a favor. He said, if you're going to talk like that, don't let anybody know you're a Christian. He said, I almost dropped my teeth. Don't let anybody know you're a Christian. The hour is late. It's time we quit playing games. It's time I quit playing games. Because people are dying. 154,000 people are dying every day without even hearing the gospel. And you say, well, that's in foreign countries. Did you know there are people living in the United States that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are. And we have that responsibility. So after these things, after the rapture of the church, in his study Bible, Dr. David Jeremiah talked about those who, where is the church? Where during this time when all these people from all tongues? He says, the church is seated before the throne. This group is standing, their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. As we focus back on the IMB missionaries, you know, I said IMB hasn't stopped their work during COVID. They're continuing to witness. I think of Linda Gray in Ukraine. We've had the blessing of working with Linda. All those that have been to Ukraine, Linda's a lifelong IMB missionary, committed her life. When the Russian troops came in, I think I've told you this before, when the Russian troops came in to Ukraine, the IMB contacted all the missionaries serving there, and they said, okay, you've got 24 hours to get out of the country in order for us to be able to ensure your safety. After that, you're on your own. And even if the Russian troops come into Kharkiv, we can't guarantee that we can get you out. And Linda Gray said, how can I flee when trouble comes and flee the people that I have grown to love? They're just like my family. How can I flee now when there's danger knocking on the door? What kind of missionary would I be? That's the kind of people our IMB missionaries are. Peru, we've had opportunity. David and Cameron Olson got two little boys that they've raised in Peru. And they just love the Lord, committed to the Lord, and making sacrifices daily in order for them to serve. But our missionaries are still at work. I just got an email the other day. On November 18th of this year, the International Mission Board commissioned 79 new missionaries. So that number I gave you earlier, that 3,585, is now 3,664 IMB missionaries that are supported by your giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Okay, I've got three videos that we want to go through here now, and just to highlight the ministry of our missionaries throughout the world. The first, IMB missionary Kristen Lowry is involved in rescuing young boys living in the streets of Nairobi, Kenya, and trusting God to bring many of them into his kingdom.
This next video, IMB missionary Dr. Doug Derbyshire and his wife Cheryl conduct medical clinics in Thailand and use the clinics as an opportunity to share Christ and bring more into God's kingdom. As Dr. Derbyshire shared, most people don't want to talk about spiritual things. They'll talk about, and this is true in foreign countries as well, they really aren't that comfortable. In Ukraine, when you ask someone if they know God, if they have a personal relationship with Christ, they'll say, most of them will say, I'm Orthodox. And that's like them telling you, I don't want to hear anything else. I'm Orthodox and that's all I need. Well, as you know, we have been conducting medical clinics, and then we started the vision clinics a couple of years later after we started the work in Ukraine. And it's amazing the opportunities God has given us to share the gospel. As I said earlier, hundreds have come to faith in Christ as a result. And there's one story in particular that I want to share with you just shortly that happened to us in the summer of 2018. Now, we go, Pastor Vladimir and Vitaly identify villages where there's no Christian witness. And so they have it set up so that we can go in there and conduct clinics when we arrive in June or July, whenever we make our trip. And in 2018, they set up a clinic in a very small village, had about 150 people that lived there, way out. I think it's probably one of the furthest villages we've ever been to outside of Krasnograd. And so we went in there that day, and I remember this woman when she came through the clinic, and she'd already seen Dr. Kevin, and he had given her some, they all want ibuprofen, and they all need the antacids. Thankfully, they've got Tums. Now, they used to just chew on raw chalk, but now they love the Tums. But she came in, and she'd seen Dr. Kevin. She came to us, and she just had a godless, mean, hateful look on her face. And we tested her eyes. We checked her eyes and were able to fit her with a pair of glasses. Well, she looked confused about that. She didn't ask us anything, but she just kind of looked at us and said, spasibo, thank you. Well, when she started out, Pastor Vitaly stopped her, and as he does all of them, and he began sharing the gospel with her. The Holy Spirit got a hold of this woman. Her name is Ala. In this picture, you're going to see she's the woman in the red sweater to the right of that photograph there. And Pastor Vitaly began to share with her. And big tears started rolling down her face, and she accepted Jesus right on the spot. Well, Pastor Vitaly is one who he wants to make sure that people understand the decisions they make. He don't want them to make a quick decision that they don't understand, so he always follows up. 2 weeks later, Pastor Vitaly went to Isla's village, and he knocked on her door. She came to the door, and Pastor Vitaly asked her, said, well, what have you done? How has your life changed since you accepted Christ? And she said, well, I'll tell you something about me that you probably don't know. She said, I was the village witch. And she said, I had all these books of incantations and all this kind of stuff, and we would have seances and all this, and I would lead those. And she said, I had a stack of books with all of these in it. And she said, last week we had a bonfire. And she said, that's what we burned in the bonfire. And Pastor Vitaly said, well, he said, every time we go into a new village and someone accepts Christ, we like to come back and start a Bible study. And said, we'd like to start a Bible study in your house. And she said, oh, no, you can't do that. And he said, what do you mean? She was thinking, oh, I'm poor and, no one want to come in my house. And she said, oh, no. And she opened up her door, and the walls, ceiling, floor, everything was painted jet black. And she said, the people here know what that means. I'm a servant of Satan, or was. And she said, they won't come in my house. And Vitaly said, we'll take care of that. Went to the local, I guess we would call it hardware store, bought 2 gallons of paint, and he painted her house. And also, she didn't have a running toilet, didn't have running water in her house. They ran plumbing into her house and set a commode. First time she'd ever had a commode in her house before. And they started a Bible study. That Bible study is still meeting, and other people have come to know Christ as their Savior as a result of that. That's what God does when you surrender to His call.
and you let the Lord use you to be a witness to others. One more video. IMB missionary Joe Brewster travels into the Amazon rainforest of South America in search of hidden people groups who need to hear the gospel, that they might also be included in this great multitude that we've talked about from Revelation 7. In 2017, the Lord sent us to a village in the foothills of the Andes Mountains in Peru. Normally, we've been going to La Huaytambo, 11,000 feet up in the Andes, but when I began planning this, the Lord put me in touch with a woman who had been a teacher in La Huaytambo, and she had transferred to this village in the foothills, and she was begging me to bring a team there. She said, there's so many lost people, and she said, I just need you to come and do the vision clinic and just do a Bible study for the kids or Bible school for the kids, and said, just come and work with us. So I prayed about it and really felt the Lord leading us. So we went to the village of La Ronda. La Ronda had been decimated by a flood 6 months before we arrived, and many people had died. So there was just a real, just a lostness, an attitude among the people. What's the use? You know, we don't understand why this happened, and we just don't know why we've been treated like this, or why we've had this flood take place. So we began working there, and on the third day of our ministry, the Lord sent to us a 91-year-old woman. Her name was Leonora, and we had the opportunity, if you'll go ahead and put that picture up, this is Leonora Rosales. We had the opportunity, Leonora came to our vision clinic, and we were able to fit her with a pair of glasses. She thought that was the greatest thing in the world, hadn't had a pair of glasses in years, she said, and so now she can read. So we encouraged her to read the Bible, and so I took out my Bible and began to show her some verses and started sharing with her. And after I shared with her the gospel, I asked Leonora, I said, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, well, I've been a Catholic all my life. But she said, I've never heard how you can have a personal relationship with God through Christ. And she said, yes, I would like to do that. 91 years old. I mean, I don't even know. That's been 4 years ago. Leonora may be in heaven now. But if she's in heaven, it's because we listened to the Lord when he led us to La Ronda. Our work here would not be possible without the work of the International Mission Board and all of our missionaries that are serving faithfully. And I'm so thankful that God has given us the opportunity. When you leave today, you're going to be given a prayer guide such as this. The ushers will have these as you exit this morning. This is as I said, today begins the week of prayer for international missions. Each day, beginning today, there will be a story about our missionaries and the work that they do, and then give you a prayer how you can pray for those. You'll also receive an IMB, a Lottie Moon mission offering envelope. And I want you to begin praying today about how the Lord would have you to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. And you'll receive those, as I said, as you leave today, both here in the worship center, the welcome center, and over in the FLC. You may have noticed on our posters that the title for this study has been A Great Multitude Plus You. So the last W question I want to ask is, why not you? Why not you? If you know that you will not be included in that great multitude. And as we've seen in Scripture, it's both those who were martyred during the seven-year tribulation and us as believers who were raptured before the seven-year tribulation. If you are not going to be there, why not? And I'll tell you why not. If you've rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and your only path to the Father, the only way that you can be forgiven of your sins and given the gift of eternal life, you're not going to be there. And our plea today, yes, we've looked at missionaries, but the most important plea that we make is, if you're here and don't know Jesus today, my prayer is that you will accept him. The Bible says we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It says if we'll confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's my desire today. If you're here and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus, that today will be your day of salvation. We're going to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. Mark is going to lead us. It's not like we have had in the past. We're not asking you to come forward, but we're asking you to do business with God right where you stand. If you've never trusted Jesus, I invite you to trust him today. Invite him into your life. You may be here and God is leading you to become a part of this church family.
Or you may be here and you got a burden on your heart and you need to talk to one of the ministers. At the end of our service today, you will be directed by our folks in the Welcome Center and in the Christian Life Center to meet with one of our ministers, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Also, if you're online, you're watching this online, and you have prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask you to call the church, phone number 706-234-1841 this week. Let us know that you've trusted Jesus, and then one of us ministers, we would be glad to meet with you. However the Lord is leading you, as you stand right now and Mark comes to lead us, I invite you to trust the Lord and to be obedient to Him, whatever He's calling you to do.